to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 22nd, 2018, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Piece of Christian art that has so far been discovered comes from early in the first century, and it is a depiction of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. This image of the Good Shepherd is central to the biblical understanding of God and especially of Jesus. It is an image that speaks to all ages. Sophia Cavalletti, when she was designing her curriculum for children in Italy, used that image because she said this image of the Good Shepherd speaks to infants as well as to the elderly and everything in between. It is a central and important image for the development of our faith. Today we get lots of little glimpses of shepherds in our scriptures. We start off with Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who has an ideal, God's ideal for what shepherd leaders should be. Shepherd leaders should care for their people, should be selfless. But instead, in those days, like our own day, too often there are bad shepherds who are in it for themselves, out to make a buck, oppressing those whom they are supposed to be caring for. We have so many pictures of that in our news. It's like we get bombarded every day with more examples of bad shepherds in every walk of life. So it's so important for us to understand what it means to be a good shepherd. What are the elements that make for the good shepherd? Well, for one thing, we get in our epistle today this wonderful idea from St. Paul, that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the one who unites people, brings people together, breaks down the division between Gentiles and Jews. God's dream is to make all human beings one in following Christ. So this idea of unity is so important. We also get from the beautiful 23rd Psalm, probably the most memorized piece of scripture in the whole Bible. Raise your hand if you had to memorize the 23rd Psalm as a child. And raise your hand also if you get thrown off by the modern translation of the 23rd Psalm. It hits me every time. I shall not be in want. Oh, dear, that's the prayer book version. The 23rd Psalm is this beautiful image of God as our shepherd. And what does God do? God brings us as sheep along the right pathway, helps us to follow the right path. That's number one. Gives us good, clean water to drink and pasture that will help us to eat and to grow. Protects us from our enemies and from violence and from harm, and eventually will welcome us to God's dwelling place forever. It is among the most reassuring pieces of scripture that you can imagine. It touches our hearts and gives us a picture of what that kind of shepherd leader is like. It's relational. The shepherd lives with the sheep, cares for the sheep, is willing in Jesus' parables to lay down his life for the sheep. There's a kind of selflessness to this shepherd who cares so much for the sheep that he is willing to sacrifice his own well-being for the sake of the sheep. That is important. Amidst all of the stories of bad shepherds that we get from the prophets like Jeremiah and also from our newspapers today, it's very heartening to hold on to images of good shepherds, because when we talk about the good shepherd, I think Jesus is calling us not only to be good sheep, to follow his voice and to follow the path towards God and to the kingdom, but I think Jesus is also calling us in our own way to be shepherds ourselves. I think each one of us has the capacity to be both sheep and shepherd, to be be both the follower and the leader. And sometimes it's in following that we learn the tools that we need to be good leaders. Every parent knows what it means to be a shepherd, to care for the sheep. Very few parents go through that without this deep sense of love. I mean, I was talking at 8 o'clock that for me, one of the great synonyms for love is worry. Every parent loves and every parent worries, right? You worry that you're not doing a good enough job, that you're letting your kids down. You worry that something will happen to them. I mean, you're sending kids out into the world and you have no control over all the things that might happen. I had this fantasy when I was first a parent, when our older daughter was born. I was like, you know, this parenthood thing is tough, but it's only like for 18 years, right? Yeah, no. Parenthood, worry, love, shepherding never ends. It's true for grandparents. It's true for bosses who care about their employees. It's true for all people who are stewards of other people. Think of those who are serving in the military, officers who are bound to protect and care for the soldiers under their command. Think of those who are willing to put themselves in harm's way as soldiers or as first responders, police and firefighters, willing to be selfless in the service of something beyond themselves, of other people, often strangers whom they have never met, caring so deeply for the well-being of others. That kind of selfless dedication, I think, is part of what it means to be a good shepherd. There were two news stories this past week which really spoke to my heart and gave me some real encouragement that this idea of being a good shepherd is not gone. I think we can get so discouraged by the news that we forget about those beacons of light, those moments of hopefulness, those examples of true godliness. One story for me, and I'm sure you followed this yourselves because it was going on in the news for quite a while, was the story of the soccer team trapped in the caves in Thailand. They had gone into that, apparently they'd gone into that cave many times, but it was one of the most dangerous networks of caves in the world, apparently, and not so bad in the dry season, but in the rainy season, deadly. The boys went further in, got trapped on a ledge, and there was almost no hope for them. One of the officials in Thailand said, "We may have to wait 4 months until the end of the rainy season until we can go get those boys out. We'll just have to somehow get food to them." Can you imagine that? Alone, in the dark, scared, they had their coach. Now, I don't know why he led them in the cave, but once they were in the cave, he turned out to be a pretty good shepherd. He had been trained as a monk, and he taught the boys meditation as a way of helping them to cope with the deadly fear of being trapped in that cave. Over 1,000 people mobilized from around the world to assist those boys. To me, this was a wonderful example of unity in the midst of a crisis. British divers, Americans who came to provide logistical support, members of the Thai Navy SEALs, and many others all worked as hard as they could to find a way to rescue those lost sheep, alone and scared in that cave. One of the ways that the American team helped them to do it was to wrap the boys in a cocoon, like a floating cocoon, so that divers could help them through the very difficult, deep parts of the cave. And eventually, as you know, every one of the boys was rescued. What a wonderful example of unity in the midst of a world that is divided, coming together to help those boys and to rescue them. What a symbol of hopefulness for our world. The other story that really spoke to me came out of the World Cup. Now, I'm not a huge soccer/football fan, but I always enjoyed the World Cup. There's something wonderful about seeing that kind of global expression. I mean, it is the most popular sporting event in the world. And let's see the passion of national teams and so forth. Well, of course, the French team won, and many of the French team, who were heroes for the French people, really come from France, but their parents are many of them immigrants from Africa. And one of the breakout stars for the French team was a young man named Mbappe. And this young man is 19 years old. Now, I was trying to think back to when I was 19, and I could barely tie my shoes and get to class on time, let alone organize anything else. Here's a guy who is a standout star for the French national team, scored 4 goals, made some heroic plays on the field, and became a great symbol for France, a unifying symbol, where there's been great estrangement between immigrants in France and the French national people. There's been this kind of, there's a rise of a kind of racist, far-right group in France that is telling these kids, you know, go back to Africa. Well, they were born in France, and yet Mbappe suddenly becomes the symbol. But there's more. What really got me was reading this week that Mbappe, at 19, decided to give all the money that he won in the World Cup to a children's charity that works with disabled kids. So that's one thing. That's nice. Okay, you're giving your money away, and the charity said, that's great. But you know what? For the last couple of years, Mbappe has been going to work with those kids every week. He plays soccer with them. He talks to them. He gives them advice. Can you imagine those kids, many of them who are, you know, the cast-offs from society, who see this superstar on TV, and then there he is, playing soccer with them, caring about them, taking time for them. The head of this charity said, you know, the money is great, it'll help us help other kids, but what really matters to those kids is when Mbappe shows up, their faces light up. It makes their day. That's a good shepherd. That's somebody who at the age of 19 somehow has the capacity to think beyond. Imagine the pedestal that he gets put on and the ways that his head could be turned by the fame and fortune. And maybe it will be. I mean, there's all kinds of temptations in this world. But at least for now, how wonderful that this young man has the capability to think beyond himself and to be a shepherd for these disabled kids. This past week, we were enabled to be shepherds for a group of children at Vacation Bible School. I was so touched by the way this church came together. Laura Monks, our director, and many volunteers who worked with the kids every day. The first day, the kids come in, they're a little bit shy and quiet. Oh, I don't know what they're going to do. Next day, they're singing, dancing, having a great time, and learning a great message. We have all kinds of ways and opportunities to be good shepherds, to care for one another, to think beyond ourselves. In some ways, it's what I think churches are for, to help us practice being good sheep and being good shepherds, to listen for the voice of the good shepherd Jesus and to follow him along those right pathways to the good pasture, and at the same time, to be given the ability and the opportunity and the privilege to shepherd others, whether that's children or grandchildren or students, whether that's people that work with us or for us, our neighbors, our friends, our fellow citizens, people in the community. There are so many ways that this world needs more good shepherds. So I encourage you, don't let the news bring you down or make you too cynical. Look for the stories that encourage your heart and your soul. Look for the places where good shepherds are continuing to do the work that God has given them, often without fanfare, without glory, without notice, but every day making the connections for people and helping them to grow more fully into the people that God wants and intends for us to be. May God continue to give us the grace to be good sheep